And we need to make space for that to happen. And sometimes that can be a little bit awkward. It kind of breaks into the flow of things, but we really want God to break in. We want to know that when we've left this place, that we've had an encounter with him, that God is real in our lives, and that he's touching us, that he wants to speak to us. And he wants to bring us that peace that we're talking about in every situation. Doesn't matter what it is, you know, we're trying to work stuff out. God says that the peace he gives goes beyond our understanding. We can have peace in the most difficult circumstances and just wonder why. That's because God is in them. I want to share just some thoughts on prayer. We've been talking about prayer for the last 2 weeks. Jed and Lisa have spoke. Sue's going to continue next week. And I just want to talk a little bit about what we can ask for. You know, one of the first things we're told to do when we come to faith is to read the Bible. We can do that. And pray, and you go, what's that? How do you pray? What do you pray for? What does it include? Is there any form to that? Is there any words that we have to use? And prayer can become a really complicated thing. And there's probably, I mean, in our brief look at prayer, there's probably more books being written on prayer than any other subject. And I've read, well, I've kind of scanned through them. I've read Praying Together, Power of Praying Together. There is a Power of Praying Together. Prayer and Worship, Just Pray. Disappointments with God. Have you had any of those? Disappointments with God. And the one I've really got into is How Not to Pray, which is really helpful, actually. That's Jeff Lucas, if you know Jeff Lucas. He always writes very honestly, and he's quite funny about the way he views things. And he says, look at me and don't do what I do, because what I'm doing is all wrong. And our perception of prayer is really important in the way that we move forward in understanding it and applying faith and prayer to our lives. And very often we'll reflect on our prayer life, and I'm not here to make you feel bad. That's okay, it's not my job. But I sometimes look at myself and think, oh, I'm really rubbish at that. I should be praying for 4 hours a day, and I'm not. I should be doing this, and I'm not. And the very thought of praying can almost put us off from praying, because we think we've got to pray for hours and hours and hours before God will listen to us, before God breaks in. We think we've got to be on our knees. Lisa talked a little bit about how we pray. It's very personal on how we pray. But we have this idea that we've got to do it in a particular way, otherwise God isn't listening. And none of that is theologically correct. He doesn't say that in the Bible at all. But over the last few weeks, we've heard really how prayer is about our relationship with God. It's our daily conversation with him. It's how we give God a view of what's going on in here. It reveals our heart. And it also helps us to see what God sees in us. It's a two-way thing. As we begin to pray to God, he begins to put things in our heart. It's a two-way conversation. And the way we do that is very personal. The language we use, because we all use different language, all use different forms of prayer. Prayer is kind of one of the bases of our faith with God. It's our conversation with God. We're very, as charismatics, as Pentecostals, we're very into praying, aren't we? We've prayed this morning. And sometimes the form of the prayer, the style, the poetry, the words, the length that we can pray for, the emotion we deliver a prayer in can become the thing. And when prayer becomes the thing about prayer, then we're missing it completely. Because prayer is about revealing our heart to God. It's our conversation with him. It can be quiet. It can be loud. It can be praise. It can be wonder as we look at his creation, as we look at the things around us. We can just, in wonder, praise and pray to God. Sometimes we forget to pray. And if you're anything like me, that's quite regular. We just forget because we're so busy. We get up in the morning and we're almost, bang, we're off. And we come to the end of the day and we think, well, I've not prayed today. And we can feel guilty about that. We can feel under pressure to pray. And so we do a quick one before we go to bed, just to get, you know, just to make sure we're all right with God. We do a quick prayer. And And you know, God will accept that. But there's more to prayer life than just this, we've got to do it. 1 Thessalonians says this. What does it say? Pray continually. It says, in different versions, it says, this is what it's saying about prayer. It's all the same chapter and verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. Be unceasing in prayer, praying perseveringly. Pray constantly. Pray continually. Pray regularly. And never stop praying. Well, that puts us under a bit of pressure straight away, doesn't it? It does. How can I do all of that? It's a huge statement. But if we don't understand what prayer is, and we don't understand how to get going in prayer, we just get put off continually. So prayer is our continual conversation with God. It's just inviting him into every situation and circumstance we're going through. And to those outside of church, those that don't understand church, it all sounds a little bit mad. We're talking to this God and we're including him in the things that we normally would just get on with in our own life, but we want God to be part of it. It's our conversation with him. You know, include him from the start of the day. Good morning, God. It's good to be alive again. Praise God. I've made it through another day, another night. What are we going to do today? What can you use me for? Where can I express the love that you have me to those around me? Where can I demonstrate who you are to those that are with me? Give me opportunity to do that. What am I going to do at work? Have I got any issues at work? Let's think about those. Let's pray about those. Include him in everything that you do. It can be that continual conversation with him. What I want to talk about this morning is, what can we pray for? Sometimes we're under the illusion, and it is an illusion, that we can't pray for ourselves. We've always got to be praying for somebody else. But we need prayer as well. We need it. And we've got to learn how to pray for ourselves, how to ask for the things that are right. So here we go. James 1:6. Jed's going to do a study on James. He thinks I'm pinching all his material now. But here we go, James 1:6. When you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. So prayer is a faith statement. Prayer is putting our faith in God and believing that his promises in Scripture are guaranteed because he said so. We believe that God is interested in who we are and he wants to be a part of it. That's, if we don't believe in God, if we don't believe in the Father heart of God, we have no faith and therefore our prayers are wasted. We've got to believe that he is, that he exists, that he answers our prayer. And I really felt this morning as we were just praying for one another, that our perception of God has got to change if our prayer life is going to be successful. If we want to see things happen in our lives because God has done it, then we've got to change our understanding of who God is. You know, one of the biggest challenges we have as a family when we're fostering children is that children have learned not to trust adults. They come into the world and they're dependent on their parents. When their parents are not there for them, when they ask for and they don't receive, when they want them to be there but they're not there, then the mistrust happens. We mistrust, or they mistrust adults, and that's the hardest thing to overcome. They almost switch off to promises of what's going to happen tomorrow because they don't believe it. And we can have that attitude in our own Christian life, that I've asked God for stuff and he's not given it to me. What's the point of praying? And we can shut down to God. But there's a song we sing, isn't there, that he's a good, good father. And Jesus said, I want you to have faith like children. You know, those children that we've brought up in our own family, they come to you and they say, can I have this? Can I have this? Dad, can you do this? And they, the relationship is very, very, you're me, Dad, you can do whatever I want. You can answer all my needs. You can meet my every requirement. And that's how our God is to us. He's there to be our good, good Father. And maybe you need a breakthrough right at the start of praying to understand that God is a good, good Father. That his heart is to actually engage with you in such a way that it's just mind-blowing. That he wants to take you from where you are and move you into a place that is completely different, where you are transformed, where your circumstances are transformed, where you, all those inner needs that you have, peace, maybe you need some peace, some joy, some hope, maybe you need some forgiveness, maybe you need some healing. That's what God wants to do in our lives, because he's a good, good Father. But if we don't believe that God exists, if we don't believe that's the heart of God, then he can never work in us. We've got to have that faith that he is, and he will answer our prayers. James 4 says this, and this is the New Living Translation, so it will probably be slightly different than what is behind me. This is what James 4 said: you want, but you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Here James is exposing wrong motives for prayer and asking for the wrong things. And I just in conversation that I have with people and just observational of where we're at as a society, we're very much self-focused and self-reliant. We work hard to get what we want. And often what we want is not what God thinks is good for us. And so we have a clash of culture here. We want things and God's saying, well, you don't really need that. Yeah, but I really want it. Yeah, but you don't need that. And so we've got to come to a place where we are listening to God and we are asking for the right things. When I was growing up in church, I used to ask for some outrageous things, as you do when you're a little boy. None of them were anything to do with anybody else. It's just what I wanted. Usually it involved getting a new bike, a new football, new fishing gear, because I thought that my life would be complete if I got all this stuff. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And we can view prayer like that, gimme. It's like a Father Christmas list, isn't it? I've been good, God. I've prayed to you. And this is my list that I want you to answer. But that's not how God operates. He's doing something completely different in our lives, because the kingdom of heaven is different than the kingdom of this earth. What God is trying to impart to us is something supernatural, something different, something that causes us to grow and be strong and mature in the faith and be powerful in our Christian life. And maybe a bike or a football doesn't really help us in that. There are times when that may be the case. But we've got to be very careful about what we pray for. I recently watched a program called Catching the Impossible Dream. It's a great program, very spiritual, about fishing. And it's a demonstration, really, of having dreams and going for them. Having dreams and reaching them. Those of you that will know Bernard Cribbins, he was the narrator of the series, and he took part in some of the programs. But the series took 5 years to make. It wasn't just this is a good idea, we'll go and do it now. It was a program because they were persistent, they kept on going, they knew what they were aiming for, and they were trying to catch the biggest fish possible. But it just didn't happen. But their faith in their abilities never failed, and they were searching and did, in fact, reach the impossible dreams. And I believe that the moment we are saved, the moment we come to faith, the moment we begin to understand this God that we're praying to, the moment we arrive at his door and invite him into our hearts, we're given faith to reach impossible dreams that God has for us. Wow, that is so exciting, isn't it? Our journey with God expands our dreams. It says in Romans, doesn't it, that he transforms the way that we think. He transforms our aims and objectives in life. He begins to work his purposes within us and give us big dreams. And I don't know whether you've got any big dreams in God. Because when we're in this relationship with God, we kind of go into God, you're in charge here now. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to fulfill what you've called me to do with this time I have on earth. Let's work it out together. Do those things within me that are going to empower me to reach my dreams in you. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. It's in Ephesians 3. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to you, this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure with all the fullness of God." And this is what he's able to do. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. No matter how big your dream is, doesn't matter how big your ambition is, Christ is bigger than that. And he can expand our understanding, he can expand our heart to reach those dreams, but go beyond them, because we limit God by our thinking. So no matter what you think you can do in God, God's going, "I can do more than that." What an exciting position to be in. You can dream big dreams, but God still goes, "I can do more than that. I can do more than you can imagine or think." And this is the God that we're praying to. He's not a tight-fisted God. His heart is that he does all this work in our hearts and in our lives so that we are demonstrating everything about God. But he fulfills us as well. You know, one of the things about becoming a Christian is you think you're giving all power to God and you are no longer in control. Well, that is true. But we're handing over our life to somebody whose heart is to see us reach dreams and go beyond those dreams. He wants to see us fulfilled in every area of life, and fruitful, and joyful, and at peace, living in forgiveness, living in his grace. That is his purpose for each of our lives. So we can pray and have big dreams, but we're not limiting God by our own thinking. You know, as we pray, one of the things that Jed says, as we pray to God, he begins to reveal stuff to our hearts. He brings revelation. So he brings revelation about who he is. He brings revelation about your relationship with him. But he also brings revelation about his purpose for you. What he wants to do with you and in you. That revelation is really important, because it helps us grow to reach the dream of our heart. So we can pray for ourselves, but we've got to be careful that we pray for the right things. We've got to be careful that we pray in faith, and we've got to ask for things. If you don't ask, you don't get. It's almost like that, isn't it? Keep on asking. Knock. Keep on knocking. Don't give in. Keep asking. And keep asking until you get an answer. And sometimes the answer may be, not now, or not ever. But we've got to keep asking until we get that response from God. So we can pray for ourselves, our future, all that God has for us, and everything that is happening in our lives. God is interested in every aspect of our lives. And we've got to understand that. We maybe need some revelation on that. From the moment we wake till the time we go to sleep, God is interested. From the moment we go to sleep to the moment we wake up, God is interested in us. He's interested in you. When we pray for the right things in the right way, we get the things that he's got planned for us. There's a whole list. I mean, I've got some things that are in Scripture that we can pray for, but this is not in any way an exhaustive list. He says we can pray for laborers to bring in the harvest. You know, our heart here is to reach out into our community. We can pray for laborers. We can pray for wisdom and revelation. We can pray for knowledge of his will. We can pray for comfort in suffering. We can pray for equipping to do his work. We can pray for mountains to be removed. Whatever those mountains are, if we have faith, they can be removed. We pray for his kingdom, his will, our daily needs, forgiveness, overcoming temptation, which is in the Lord's Prayer. We can pray for those things. 1 John 5 says this: this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. Matthew 21. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And John 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Very powerful scriptures, those, aren't we? If we believe and we ask, we will receive. Is that how you see prayer? Because that's how the Bible is instructing us to think about prayer, that we ask, we believe, we remain in him, we continue to do his will, and it will be done for you. One of the Freedom in Christ courses that we did a few years ago, those, you remember Jonathan Bonehill, those that have been around for a while, he's in Australia now, Jonathan. And he came to faith and he joined us and he began to go through the Freedom in Christ course. And he was facing some issues at work and he didn't know how to deal with them. So he prayed. And he came back and he said, it works. It really works. Almost like, I don't believe it, but it works. And the circumstances he faced, he was having problems with somebody at work, like, it's not unusual. But after just praying about it, and a conversation was able to be had, and these two guys then began to work together and be friends. And he said, it's just amazing, I can't believe it, but it works. And sometimes prayer can be like that. We almost don't believe that it's going to work. And God wants us to be in that place where we have confidence in him. We need a revelation about our relationship with God. We need a revelation about what God is trying to do in our lives, so that we are confident when we pray to our Father in heaven, he will give us what we're asking for. So to pray without ceasing seems an overwhelming task, but it's our daily conversation with him, where we share life, where we ask for things, because he's our good, good Father. We have to have faith in him. We have to ask and keep on asking until we get an answer. We have to ask for the right things. And we don't want to be in a place where we limit God, because he's bigger than our dreams and can bring them to pass. I would encourage you in God to dream impossible dreams and just see what happens, because God says he's going to do more than that. There are times and circumstances when we don't know what to pray for. We can be in situations where we're overwhelmed, where things have just piled upon us and we just go, I don't know what to pray. And it says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. So if you've ever been in a situation where I don't know what to pray for, I don't know how to pray, Jesus gave us this gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we're struggling, when we're under pressure, He says the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. So even when we almost can't pray for ourselves, the Holy Spirit is making intercession on our behalf. Prayer is really important, but it's not about praying. It's not about the form of praying or the words that we use. It's not about having a routine of praying, and if you don't pray, God will not be pleased. And I think that's something that as believers we can begin to think, that if I don't pray, God isn't pleased with me. God's pleased with us when we pray, because it means he can do things in our lives that we're asking for. If we never ask for anything, we never receive anything. And so we've just got to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to what prayer is and how we use it. And we're trying to focus as a church on prayer. What does it mean? How do we apply it personally and as church? And so we're just beginning to sort of open opportunities, open new ideas, open our understanding to what God wants us to do. And at the moment we have the prayer chain, which Val is running, which is great. And really is meeting prayer needs very often from people outside of the church, families, work colleagues, people who we come across who really need prayer. And we pray for them. And it's just been an awesome tool over the years that Lynn was running it as well. But we want the Sunday mornings to be where we can pray for each other. Let's not be embarrassed about that. Let's not be embarrassed about the fact that we need prayer. And really, we all need prayer. If we're honest, we all need it somewhere. Because God wants to be part of what's happening in your life. So when we go, who needs prayer? Sort of two or three people come out and we all go, oh, I wonder what they're up to. Wonder what's going on in their lives. Well, I don't need prayer. I'm all right. But the reality is that really we should all be out here being prayed for. But we're embarrassed about that. Our Britishness kind of breaks in and we go, how are you? I'm great. I'm really good. Do you need anybody to pray for you? No, I'm fine. We're trying to break that thinking. We want this to be a house of prayer for ourselves and a house of prayer for all nations. But we're just trying to include it as everything we do, as part of what we do on a Sunday morning, to pray for one another, to open up our heart for God to be able to break in to your circumstances. We're also starting up some opportunities to join WhatsApp groups, the ones that we've got at the moment. Well, we're going to shut them down. And if you want to be part of something with WhatsApp where we can pray together for things, you can put your name on the list. We did have some forms to fill in, but I don't know whether they were given out last week. If you weren't here last week, we'll find you one. But it's committing to doing something. It's committing to praying for one another. It's committing to praying for people who are in need. And it doesn't have to be for 2 hours a day. It doesn't have to be. It's just a moment of going, I pray for this person. They really need you in this circumstance, God. Just be God in their life. Be God in their circumstances. Break in and do something awesome for them. Answer this prayer. And we're going to meet regularly to pray together. It's something that through COVID we've not been able to do. But we will organise, probably not every month, but every now and again we'll get together and we will pray together. And we're going to have a week of prayer. When Sue's speaking next week, we're going to have a week of prayer where we'll just give you things that you can pray for, some thoughts about where we're going as church and how you can pray for the dreams that we have as church. We want to see God do more than what we can dream here, and so we need to pray about that. We need to ask God. So there's plenty of opportunity to get involved in prayer. But I suppose from all of this, the conclusion is the way we pray is determined by how we see God. What we're asking for will depend on our faith to see him actually give us what we're asking for. And so maybe, as I'm just going to close now, we'll ask that God just breaks into our heart again and gives us a new vision, a new understanding of who he is. Gives us an increased faith to trust him that what he says is actually the truth. And we want to see God do great things in our lives, individually, to meet our need, but also to give us big dreams to serve him and big dreams for our community, that they see something of God that is life transforming. Let's just pray together.